button today. I pushed the button on Full Spectrum Cycling show number 62.
62. That's my niece's boyfriend's age right now.
Holy mackerel.
He's an old dude. Mo.
What do they call that?
62?
Yeah, May, September.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Probably not quite. More like August, September, probably, huh? Well.
Top of the hill already.
Oh. No, we're starting a little early at the bottom of the hill. We're just making our way up slowly. Just
starting with the beer water before the main course. Freaking warm out there the last couple of days. Holy cow. It went from 0 to 100 in no time flat.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I had a non-winding or non-breeze little vantage point when I would step away from my office today, and it was not really wonderful.
It's Sven here and JK to my right.
Hi.
Tony, a socially distant and Lake of the Ozarks
return
6 feet away. I was trying to
the maw of the Grand
Beast. I was trying to find Tony's picture in the thing that was on the thing there with the
Where's the Waldo? Glom. Where's Waldo, yeah. Sean? Where's Tony? Where is he?
I trust that he was in a private residence and socially distancing for the most part.
I had a very relaxing do-nothing vacation where we played a lot of Uno Attack, the new version of Uno.
Oh, my.
And
what's the difference between the old version of Uno?
It's got a machine that spits out cards if you have to draw.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's random, and sometimes you can get yourself about almost a dozen cards.
Oh, nice.
So if you have Uno and it comes to you and you don't have the color, you hit the button, you can get unloaded on.
Wow.
It's actually really fast-paced, really entertaining.
It does sound a little,
you know? But intriguing. Yeah, I might have drank a small amount of beer and a little bit of Fireball, which is something I don't usually do.
Yeah, thank God, because that stuff sucks.
Ooh. Yeah, don't jump on that train.
Let's just say there's
all of it, Jack Fire, all that
but
stuff.
But I did, ride in a really fast boat that was passed by a lot of other really fast boats, and the funniest part about it was all of a sudden everyone's like in their 200,000 400,000 million dollar boats just cruising, and all of a sudden you see this shop boat with twin outboards just go screaming by everybody, and they were all totally embarrassed.
Yep.
It was great.
Yep, boats are for suckers.
I don't remember the comedian, but he said you don't want to be the guy that has the boat. You want to be the guy that brings the beer to the guy that has the boat. And I was that guy.
Right on. Speaking of beer, here's something sad. Sunrise has been sold.
Mm?
Our local corner, wonderful convenience store that stocks a lot of good six packs of good beer sold.
I go away for a couple of days?
Yep.
What? The hell?
Maybe JK knows more about it than I do, but Mike was saying, I'm retiring. I'm not going to be here anymore.
I don't know. I was scouring.
He sold it to one of his brothers or something, right?
I don't know.
It doesn't sound like it. They've been there for 22 years, and he said it's just time to, I'm done. He's an old dude, you know? And they originally had a place further on the west side, 35th and somewhere out that way. But yeah, kind of sad because those guys are a neighborhood fixture and everybody really likes that place because of those guys.
Beer selection is pretty cool.
And it is a great beer selection. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully the new owners have a vision not to fuck with it.
They understand the pulse of this neighborhood and
maybe
realize they can make money on beer.
Yeah, we'll see. He's there for another week or two. So if you're in Milwaukee, you want to stop by Sunrise and say, happy retirement, feel free. Corner of Wheel and Locust here in River West. No,
you have to go. I mean, if you're not haven't lived in River West for more than 6 months, you've been there.
For sure. Yep. We said another bye-bye this week. We said bye-bye to the Bombora. It went down the road.
Holy cow.
You didn't even get to ride it. I took it out for a test ride. I'm like, I'm not giving this to Jessica. I'm keeping this because this is badass. I got some pictures, though, so you can relive the glory. Plus, you'll probably see her riding around the neighborhood.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably.
How big a tire did you end up fitting in that?
We went with the 650B by 46 Surly Extraterrestrial.
Extraterrestrials.
She's going to ride the crap. She'll use that bike.
With slate gray sidewall.
Okay, yeah. She will use the shit out of that bike. I mean, that's the best part about her. She will put tons of miles on that bike.
I've seen on the interwebs and the Instagram feeds other builds of this bike, and people are doing interesting things with it. I think Joe at 718 in Brooklyn had a build. I can't remember who all else had them, but it's been popping up since I think they did a one-off order, and they all went out, and now they're all getting
pictured up,
built it up into completed bicycles.
Fantastic. Yeah, that was a pretty bike.
It reminds me a lot of a Growler, actually. It's got some similar traits. A little more on the put a bunch of stuff on it side of things, mm-hmm. but very similar in the execution of it. Yeah, man.
That's how it goes. I did both to and from the Lake of the Ozarks look for Big Sexy and did not have a Big Sexy sighting. I'm serious. I told all of the people in my entourage, I said, look, you see anyone on a tricycle, you point it out immediately. Because it could very well be Big Sexy, and I'm going to kill a whole bunch of your time.
I know he made it to Springfield this week. So
I went through Springfield there and back.
He did do the state capitol stop.
Yeah, I don't think it made... As being the navigator, I didn't really know where the hell I was going in relation to if I would have been...
He
was way south of where you went.
That's probably what I figured.
Yeah. Molly just said follow the blue line. That's what you do. Plug in your destination and follow the blue line.
Oh, my God. You used navigation to get down
there? Well, I had a fancy-ass SUV, and if you plugged your iPhone into it, it Apple played onto the screen, and then we were all set to go. I know that because everyone I was traveling with had an iPhone.
So now you know why iPhones are the kick-asses.
No, because I'm sure it would work with Google, too, but I didn't want to show them up.
Yeah, man.
Yes, I played with technology mappings, and it was like, okay, all right. JK. Very, very intrusive.
I'm the only one that stayed in town over the holidays. Yeah. Like a good little stay-at-home boy.
Exactly.
That said,
what'd you do? Did you get any riding in?
Got a lot of riding in.
Yeah, because it was gorgeous.
Yep. That was more, you know, go out and ride around. Stay away from all the imbeciles because, you know, mm-hmm. Wisconsin is now open for stupidity. And by cracky, the stupid people are doing what they can live up to their name.
I returned the truck via the lakefront, and I could not believe the number of people that were just walking around the lakefront yesterday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You weren't there. I was about to yell at people. I'm like, wow, don't you people have jobs? I'm like, oh, wait.
Yeah. Monday, there was there was a shit storm down there. Like 30 to 50 people were in a fight. Cops. I mean,
really?
Well, yeah, just normal. Lots. Normal.
First hot day of summer. Let's get into shit.
They opened up the, all the parking on the,
what did they think was going to happen?
Right.
So
I mean, yeah, because we were coming back. Like,
did Stinky Burger open too?
The
whatever they're calling it now.
Yeah, I don't think
people were milling about in front of it. So I assume so.
It was hard to tell, but I don't think they were open because it didn't look like there were
for 60 people to span close to each other.
Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah.
So
act smarter.
We got a guest this week.
Come on.
Huh?
We got a guest, I think. We have a guest here now.
Do you bring a beer?
I heard a beep. Am I on?
Welcome to the show, caller. Who do we have on the line?
This is Dave Schlabowski back.
Hey, Dave Schlabowski.
Dave Schlabowski back.
Two back.
How are you?
Now also Dave. Dave was also not over the Memorial Day weekend, but recently up north.
There, hey.
Yeah, bike packing during the pandemic.
Yeah, tell us how, first of all, because...
My first trip.
Yeah, like Wisconsin opened up and you made some calls and said, what do you guys think? How did that go? Who did you contact?
Yeah, obviously I've been dying to go up there. I canceled a couple of planned trips and then I would have normally taken a couple of others. I had a winter trip planned that, you know, for February and another one for March. And, none of those happened because of the stay at home orders. And, despite the fact that I'm riding by myself out in the middle of nowhere and really probably no risk to anyone and at no risk personally either. But I wanted to follow the rules. And then just recently, a few weeks ago, I got some emails, some marketing emails from CAMBA, the Shawamigan Area Mountain Bike Association up by Cable Hayward area, saying our trails are open and you can come visit as long as you follow these, social distance guidelines and stuff like that. And then I got something from the Hayward Area Chamber of Commerce. I got something from Rome Adventure Base Camp. I got, I'm on these marketing email lists. And so I called up there and I spoke to the president of the board of directors for CAMBA. I spoke to the executive director for CAMBA, and they both assured me that they had spoken personally with the health departments at for their counties, and they got the go ahead to in general, along with other businesses up there, not just the trails and stuff, got the go ahead to invite people up as long as any message sent out to invite people to visit included, the safety guidelines.
So if you invited your buddy from Illinois, you'd have to say in the email an addendum that says we are following safe blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So any of their marketing emails, if you know up north, it's those marketing emails are not going to people that live in Sawyer County for the most part. They're going to people that live in Milwaukee County, Lake County, Nicolet County, Hennepin County. You look in any of those parking lots up there and the plates are all, you can't tell Milwaukee plate, but there's lots of Illinois and Minnesota plates. And I'm sure a lot of people from Milwaukee and Madison as well.
I think that's something Wisconsin should institute is counties on plates. Like I think even in Montana where there's very few people, absolutely. You can tell what county someone's from by their license plate.
Florida, I mean,
we could shame everyone from Winnebago County.
Yeah.
Awesome. During the pandemic, it'd certainly be helpful. But
oh, for sure.
So I had been hesitant to take any trips, but once I got the official go ahead, and knowing that I was going to be off by myself in the middle of nowhere anyway, I figured why continue to deny myself. So
with or without cowboy. So
I did not take cowboy. This was too long a trip for him, so he stayed home with mom and. And I just went, and I start most of these adventures in Cable because they have a handy-dandy municipal parking lot where you are free to leave your vehicle for extended periods of time. You don't have to give anybody any notification. You just pull in their parking lot and unpack your adventure gear, whatever it may be, and you can leave it there. So I like to start there. Plus, I love Cable, Hayward area, Sealy. I've got friends up there, and it's just, a bunch of really great assets up there, even though most of them were closed when I was up there this last trip.
You called them assets. I think they're now called human capital, I believe.
Well, I'm talking about places like the River's Eatery, this amazing wood-fired pizza up, in the middle of Cable, Velo Cafe, the Sawmill Saloon. And there's just a whole bunch of really great, the Delta Diner, there's just a bunch of really great places up there that I love. But, of course, most of those were closed when I did my trip. But
yeah. I mean, if anybody...
Doing some curbside.
Right on. I mean, if anybody gets the chance to go up that way, definitely all the places Dave's mentioned, I've been to them as well. And it's, you can't go wrong in northern Wisconsin for hospitality.
Right. That's true. That's
right.
True.
Yeah. And that area of the state, for those don't know, is, has long been a silent sport mecca, both because of the Shawamigan Area Mountain Bike Association trails. They've got, I think, 150 miles of single track. And modern flowy stuff, purpose built, berms and, banked bridges and stuff like that. They've got all that too. As well as of course the cross country skiing, the Birkebeiner, the home of the American Birkebeiner, is there.
Get them dang old snow machines up there too.
Yeah. I mean, you're as likely to, find somebody, in a bar that came in with a four wheeler as you are to find somebody with a heart rate monitor on.
That's a great way to look at that.
It's good company. So you started in Cable, and I'm looking at your Wisconsin Waterfall Loop right now. I just right off the bat, I'm just going to make one suggestion. You knock 33 miles off of this, and then you'd only have 333 miles, which would be halfway to hell.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome. But no, it says Wisconsin Waterfall Loop, 366 miles. And I'm just so tell us about what your route is all about.
You'll link that. Yeah, you'll link that route in the show notes, I'm sure. But so our listeners can check it out. It's on Ride with GPS. So the route starts in Cable and it does kind of a loop. I have mine going clockwise. You got customers in the store?
Tony's got a customer over there. Here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut Tony off right now. So I'm going to push this button. Push
the
these buttons.
Sound of commerce.
Right? Yeah. You know, we're open till 8, apparently. So, yeah. Anyway, we can hear you fine. So tell us what. I'm looking at the pictures
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I also gave you some photos from this trip. So it's a loop that goes up towards Ironwood and then up towards Lake Superior and Saxon Harbor, and then back down, and then kind of goes pretty much underneath the Bad River Reservation, back around up north towards Cornucopia and Herbster, then comes straight back south down towards Delta and ends back in Cable. And along the route, I think there are 25 or 26 waterfalls along
that
the
is
route.
Spectacular.
And this route, I modified. I've done various versions of this, and this one I strung together a bunch of Canva single track at the start. So the first 24, 25 miles or so are all on single track that begins at the North End Trailhead just south of Cable. You head south on Randy Sack and you run right into that trailhead. That's where that one of the yurts is. They've got a couple of yurts on their trails, and that's where one of the yurts is. And so you ride, you know, a whole bunch of their trails that the couple of new ones, Dirt Candy, is purpose built with, you know, there's a photo I think I've got in there. You can see it, you know, spiral berm bank downhill, you know, and then it's got a little section called do over. And even though I was doing a 366 mile bikepacking route, when I got to that point where I was like, okay, go left to keep up going on my route. And I'm like, well, or I could session this one more time if I hit do over. So I went around and sessioned Dirt Candy, even though I was on my loaded mountain bike. But it's a super fun trail network. And then a lot of stuff is pretty rocky. So I rode Danky Dank is one of the trails there that I included. And that's really, it's like 50% rock garden. So for this route, I chose to take my Milwaukee Bicycle Company 29er with this front suspension fork and 2.3-inch tires. You could, in theory, ride that section with a drop bar gravel bike, but I wouldn't want to personally.
So for the most part, the route is basically gravel bike friendly, and you just added some more exciting stuff into it for your own personal use. Gotcha.
So the percentage I think it's like 80% gravel roads, and then like 5% pavement, and then 5% mountain biking stuff, and then the rest are like kind of like real rough ATV two track.
Gotcha. So how long did you spend on it this time through there?
So what I decided to do this trip is I cut it a little bit short. Because Ironwood is all shut down basically, and because I've ridden that section a half dozen times, what I did this time is, if you look at the route, there's a little section down southwest of Ironwood a ways, where there's an intersection there, and there's a Bear Chasers pub is there. There's a real old deer hunting camp there called Kids Camp that's got a giant arrow stuck in the road, you know, like a 40-foot tall arrow stuck in the road. And there's an intersection there. And I went straight north there, and I went up to visit this old-growth hemlock forest that's on the route up there. So there's like 250-year-old trees along that section of route. So,
wow.
I cut that a little short, and I headed straight up to Iron Belt.
Cool. So just while I'm looking at this, let me ask you about the app itself, Ride with GPS. It's not Strava, so what? How do you use this app, and what makes it like the thing for this type of a trip and to map out something? Because you've been working on this for a while, so.
Yeah, and I've personally settled on Ride with GPS. Other people use Strava. Some people like Gaia for this. I find this to be super user-friendly in terms of editing. The way I develop most of these routes is, I've ridden some areas and then I want to connect them and stuff. So what I do is I go on Ride with GPS and I open up the satellite imagery and I zoom way the heck in. And then I look to see what's gravel, try to see ATV trails through the forest or logging roads that are visible on satellite imagery. And then I draw a route. And through those, because the app won't automatically route on those. It'll route on roads, and it'll route on trails, but it won't route on those logging roads or ATV trails. So, but I can often see them. However, the accuracy of satellite imagery and how fast the forest overgrows up there and, that sort of stuff is questionable. So sometimes those things don't pan out. But that's how I do it. And I draw them and then I go ride a recon and actually fact check it and track my route with Ride with GPS and work my way through that. My friends call those sections Dave-ment. Because I insist, I'm like, well, we're going through the middle of the forest. I know we have to walk our bikes because it's impossible to ride because either there's so many trees down or the grass is up above our heads or something like that. But like, there's a path through the forest. So somebody cut a path here at some point in time, even if it's not rideable today. But so that's how I use Ride with GPS for that. And then if you do the premium, which is all these apps are really cheap, $25 a year or something like that. It allows you to download the routes and I just run it on my phone, and my iPhone. And, so I can download the route. So even where I don't have cell service, the GPS application works. And
oh, cool! Yeah,
I can see my map.
For Northern Wisconsin, I think AT&T is basically the only service that works reasonably well up there, isn't it?
It depends where you're going. Certain sections are AT&T, and other sections are Verizon. Ah. And then there's some sections where there's just nothing. So, yeah.
One of those weird things about how telecom happened was there was a. I forget what the company, United States Cellular or something, held on to that area for a long time and nobody could get in there. It was kind of like the opposite of the Coca-Cola kids story where, Coca-Cola had everything, but this one little spot in Australia didn't. So yeah, anyway, yeah. I digress, but I'm looking at
So I love Ride with GPS for that. Like I said, some people swear by Gaia. I don't find it as easy to use, but maybe it's just because I've been using Ride with GPS for years. But so this trip, like I said, I added sections that I haven't done. I normally go up to Saxon, but this time I kept going north up to Saxon Harbor where Superior Falls is. And I hadn't been there before. It seemed a little out of the way and maybe unnecessary, but the route that I found going up there is pretty much straight ahead gravel roads, which are pleasant. And then you get to stop at Saxon Falls up north of Saxon, which is a real nice waterfall with a town park in it. That's a really nice park. And then you keep going and, you get to Saxon Harbor, which was destroyed in like a flood a while ago, but they're rebuilding it. It's going to be a very nice campground there soon. And the waterfall is kind of cool. So, and the bonus, though, what sealed the deal is the route back south down towards Gurnee and through to Cedar and to Gurnee is a bunch more pavement, and it's really fun. So it's really, really rough, hilly ATV and logging two-track. So it's probably, for me, it was about 50% rideable, but I like those sections. It's part of the bike packing experience for me is to, I mean, you can always avoid them. You know, there's always a road. You can go on 169 if you want to avoid it, you know, but I like seeking out those, getting as far into the middle of nowhere as possible.
Yeah, right on. Well, I mean, you've done a lot of work on this, so I encourage everybody that's listening to this show at this time to take a look at what Dave's put together. And if you can make it to northern Wisconsin, by cracky, there'd be a lot worse ways to spend your days than to bike pack on this route. So,
yeah, and you can divide it up into, you know, I do it in little two-day sections, and there's lots of places to take shortcuts back to wherever you want to start and end and leave your car or your truck. I'm going to be going up in a couple weeks just to dial in some of the sections up by, north of Grandview that are on some real sandy and north of Delta that are on some real sandy, sort of forest roads, sort of ATV roads. It's kind of hard to tell, but it's really deep, soft sand. And I just want to dial them in a little bit. Well, I'm going to go up, and I've got, you know, a 160-mile route. I'm going to do it with my buddy Tom Schuler, and we'll do that, you know, in 2 days.
Right on. Cool.
Out back from cable, so.
Well,
And hopefully once I get that section dialed in, then I'm going to submit this to bikepacking.com and try to get it published there.
Yeah, I don't see why. You got spectacular pictures, too, so. I think that will help.
Yeah,
a lot.
I got a lot of photos.
I know you've mentioned. I just got an email today from Canva that what's the Candy Trail? There's another one now, number two.
Dirt Candy 2
is now around, and in that email it mentioned about being a member of Canva, and I think, you know, if you go up there and you ride on the trails, it's pretty inexpensive to be a Canva member, but they're doing a ton of work and everybody that can help support it. So maybe you can do a quick plug for Canva. Yeah.
I'm a Canva member. I don't even ski the Berkey, but I belong to the Birkebeiner Foundation just because they do so much great stuff up there. You know, I mean, I don't kick in a lot of money, but you know, I'm a entry level member of that foundation as well, just because they do so much great work up there and we share a lot of the same resources.
Right on, Dave. I'm going to go ahead and ring the top of the hill bell right now.
All right, yeah, it's about that time, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if you're having a brew today, but our friend Jessica that just picked up her Crust Bombora, which is a really kick-ass bike, and I mentioned to her and her boyfriend Dan that they should check this route out because they do a lot of riding around the state and doing some bike packing and whatnot. But she brought us over some Dogfather from across the street over there to the to the Black Husky Brewery, so. It's Loki. It is Dogfather. Quiet, you. Tony's lipping off over there.
I do have a show beer in hand. It's from my neighborhood brewery, Venture Brewing Company, and it's appropriately a Zoom beer. It's an easy drinking ale with mosaic hops and Kivik yeast.
What's the old alcohousy content on that one?
ABV. They don't always put it on their stickers. I think it's a little for, you know, sessionable. So it's probably 6% or something like that. Five or six.
Dogfather.
Most of their beers are 6.5 to 7. Yeah, they're not quite as big as Tim's beers in general.
He's mentioned that before. I like big beer. Yeah, this one's a 6.8
yeah.
on the old Dogfather. This is the one that makes Tony.
I was interested to hear on that show that Tim's riding. I didn't know. I mean, I knew he was like a power lifter, but I didn't know that he was and I knew he was obviously a dog sledder, but I didn't know that he had started getting into cycling.
Yeah, I think it's a relatively new thing, and they did some long ride last year, and I think they like it, so they're going to continue somewhere up where they are, Pembine, that area up north of Milwaukee.
One of my original versions of this route actually started in Amberg at I thought it would be appropriate to start this route at Dave's Falls, and went north from Amberg straight through Pembine. So I'm familiar with Pembine. I've ridden through there a few times.
Nice. All right, Dave. But, you got anything you want to leave us with anything? And otherwise, we'll
talk to you soon. I guess, Greg, I'll talk to you when the brake lines come in. The build on my bike was perfect. If your listeners, it's a Milwaukee Bicycle Company Ferrell 29er, which is built by my former employer, Waterford Precision Cycles, out in Waterford by, under the guidance of senior Richard Schwinn, his son Tucker, out there. And it performed great. I originally had the bike set up as a straight up mountain bike, and I added some new brazons to it for kind of a funky custom rear rack inspired by the Trek 1120 rear rack, but real lightweight. Cause in the back of my bike, I strapped my tent, which weighs, I think, 1 pound, 7 ounces, and, my sleeping bag or quilt, which weighs, 1 pound, and they're just a little kind of bulky pack. So I have 2 5-liter Sea-to Summit bags that strap onto each side of this, along with the tent stakes and the poles and some custom bags that I sewed up, and I welded up or brazed up, silver brazed up the stainless steel rack for the back of the bike. And then I had a couple other brazons added on to that bike. And then I added Jones bars, and unfortunately the cable setup doesn't reach quite right. So that's why I wanted to bring it into Everyday Cycles and have you put some longer cables on it.
Right on. Yeah, the operative word is they're not cables, they're hydraulic. So.
Right, hydraulic, yeah. Brake lines, yeah. I think the shifter cable does need to be longer too, but it works great. The bike is amazing. I'm just a giant convert for that Jones bar and the Ergon GA3 lollipop grips. They're really soft and squishy. They're amazing. But when I put a front bag on the front, the cables are getting squished back, and I just don't like when I turn the handlebar, it's like kind of pulling the cable and the brake line.
Yep.
At kind of an extreme angle right at the caliper. It just looks like something's going to break at some point from stress. So I want to have you guys put some longer.
Sure. We'll suss you out there. All right. Cool. Well, I look forward to talking to you again, look forward to doing this route with you, or portions of it, in the not too distant future.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
Yep, you bet. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Bye.
Adios. Bye.
Well, by cracky, that was a whole lot of information about that Wisconsin waterfall loop, currently at 366 miles. Oh, wait. I should have muted Tony. Hello. Hey, JK's Hello. Back. You should have said something before.
Well, it was hard to tell if the sound tornado was going to return back over.
Well, it's like I thought Tony didn't put his headset down. No, he did. But I thought JK's always number two. Not number three. JK's number two.
Well, no, it minimized some of the
extraneous sounds.
Indeed.
Commerce happening here at the open by appointment only / when our door is open now in Wisconsin bike shop. Thank you very much. Everyday Cycles, River West, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, USA, Galaxy Universe,
US,
America. And I had to take a deep breath right after that one. By the way, my lung capacity is still fantastic. So,
yes.
Well, I think we kind of used up everyone's time for this show. So thanks for listening. And, I don't know. Come back next week again or something or whatever. Or,
listen
don't, or
to
don't. I don't care.
The dulcet tones of our blatherings.